Could you tell us a little bit about this project, looking at using sound to bring fish back to reefs? How did it all work, and why is it that the audio of live reefs brings fish back?
Mm-hmm. So look, this work really comes from a decade-long research program that we've been running here at Lizard Island Research Station on the Great Barrier Reef. Now, for your listeners to understand how the experiment worked, they need to know a little bit about how the life cycle of a fish works on the Great Barrier Reef. Basically, the parents spawn eggs or larvae into the water column, and these eggs or larvae drift around for a month or so while a little wiggly creature that's a larvae develops into something that looks like a tiny adult. They do that because if they left those eggs or larvae on the reef, it'll get eaten. So they're washed out into the open water, and they have to, of course, find their way back to a reef. Now, they do that using sound, often the sound of a healthy reef. So those little fish larvae, after drifting around for a month or so, navigate back to a reef using the sound of a healthy reef.
Wow. So with all the reefs dying and no longer sounding healthy, are they just kind of floating away into the ether, or not being able to find their way back to a safe environment?
Well, that may well be the problem. So those little fish out there aren't necessarily attracted back to a degraded reef. Now, if you stuck your head underwater on the Great Barrier Reef, you're pretty much deaf.
Yep.
Our ears are basically designed to work in air, not underwater. And when we stick our heads underwater, it's like putting on an industrial strength pair of earphones.
Mm.
But if we could hear and we monitor the noise underwater using a hydrophone, it's the most incredible sound. We get screeches, whir, clicks, gurgles, burbles, just a cacophony of noise. And overlaid on the top of that is the sound of what sounds a bit like bacon frying in a pan, all the squeaks and clicks and bubbles.
Wow.
Now, those noises are made by fishes, but they're also made by a lot of invertebrates, things like snapping shrimps that live in the reef. And that's what a healthy reef should sound like.
Mm.
Now, a degraded reef sounds very, very different. A lot of those animals are lost. A lot of those invertebrates have disappeared. They're kind of a bit silent, like a tomb.
Oh, gosh.
Now, if we want to do something about that, we need to increase the rate, perhaps, that those reefs can actually recover. And the baby fish are absolutely integral to that process. So we need to attract some of these baby fish back to these degraded reefs. And what we found we can do is, by playing the noise of healthy reefs underwater, we attract some of those baby fish back and kickstart the process of the fish coming back to the reef.
So what is it exactly that these baby fish do? Why are they so important to these reefs?
Well, that's important because what happens is that some of those baby fish are things like herbivores, and they graze the algae off the reef. They make space for corals to grow. So corals can come back faster. When there's more habitat, there's more fish, there's more recovery, the whole thing speeds up.
Mm.
So that's the aim of the study.
Is there any, this is the first thing that came to my mind, is there any concern about luring these fish back to a degraded environment, an environment that is not optimized for their survival? Could it compromise their ability to survive in a reef situation if the reef is not at its peak health?
Well, see, that is a possibility. It's now part of the program we're doing is actually monitoring the survivorship of those fish through time to see if they really can speed up the reef recovery. But look, the problem is such that we're degrading reefs on such a scale and at such a rate around so many places in the world that we're desperately looking for new solutions.
Mm.
We're in really need of innovative thinking, and I think that's why this project has created so much excitement. It's an idea that really, you know, we can actually get in and try and speed up the process a little bit to help everything along.
Absolutely. How has the project been going so far? How have we been seeing the recovery efforts so far?
So the next stage of the project is exactly that. It's long term. We've shown the proof of concept that you can get these little fish back to the reefs, and the next stage now is to monitor their survivorship through time and also the rate of recovery of those reefs.
Mm.
Both things are important. And, of course, it's a much longer term study than the initial results we report.
Absolutely. And I guess a part of that longer term study would be exploring how we can keep these reefs from degrading again.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's a very difficult problem because it's really dependent on climate change, and it's really dependent on governments acting and world government, you know, the world getting together to do something about it. What we're hoping to do, though, is provide a little bit of breathing space. Mm. If we can make reefs recover a little bit more quickly before the next, you know, insult and assault on them happens again, maybe we can keep them there for a little longer. While we get a bit of breathing space as a, you know, as a population, to actually do something effective about climate change. Mm. So we're providing a little bit of insurance for the reef.
Bit of breathing time.
Yeah, a little bit of breathing.
I like that. I like that a lot. Mark, unfortunately, we'll have to leave it there, but thank you very much for joining us this morning.
No problem. Good to chat.